Today's share is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Pei Gimel. We will begin on Daf Pei Beis, four lines from the bottom. In our previous share, we had learned that if somebody buys three trees in a property, the Mishnah taught us, everybody agrees, he becomes the owner of the land. But there was a discussion, what does that mean when we say he's the owner of the land? How much of the land is he entitled to? So one man said 16 amma from 8 to 16. The other one said from 4 to 8. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara is bringing a raya to this opinion of 16 ammas. Because with Salman Bechet Shanotas Karma Shesha Sarama. There was a person who planted his field, and between the rows, there were 16 amma. And what he did was, if there were two parallel rows, what he would do with those two parallel rows is he would turn the branches of those two parallel rows in opposite directions so that they shouldn't be in any way overhanging that empty space. And Vizareya Sanir, and he would bring a different type of seed and plant between these two rows. Because if there's a distance of 16 amas between the two rows, and as we just said, the branches were directed from each property, were turned away from each row, that's why he was able to bring this other type of bring something over there, and it would not be considered a situation of klayim. Says the Gemara further, next year, Yehefchazar Lamakam Zera. What they used to do quite often is what they needed to rotate the crops. So next year, the land on which they had planted, the next year on the land that they had planted this year, they used for leaving empty. And because they were leaving empty, now they could tilt the branches over this empty area. Because now, since it's going to be left empty, they're not going to be planting here next year. Since they're not going to be planting here next year, they can leave it empty. And Zerayas Abar, and then the other side, which had been left empty last year, was planted this year. And this question came to the Chachamim, if this is a permissible way of planting, and they said that since there's a distance of 16 amis between the rows, that's why he could do so. What do we see from here? That 16 amis is the distance that you have to have between properties. And if you don't have that distance of 16 amis between the properties, then you're going to have a problem. It's not considered, it's already too close together. So we see that, what we see from here, that when you have anything less than 16 amis, it's all considered one field. So we have a raya to the 16 amis number. Amalei, so Rav Yosef said to Baya, Anola Yudana, I don't know what to tell you. El of the Hava, I could tell you that there was a story, but Dura Derasa, where there was a question in the city of Dura Derasa. Dura Derasa, the Mefarshim explained, was a city where they used to have shepherds. Vasla Kameh de Rav Yehuda, and the question came to Rav Yehuda. Vamalei, he said, how much distance somebody bought three priests as a property, and there was a question, how much of the property does he entitle to? And he was told that Rav Yehuda told the person, the seller, Zil Havle, give the buyer Kamloi Bok of a Kalev, give him the amount that he should be able to travel with the animals and the equipment that he needs to plow the field. And continues Rav Yosef, Vilohav Yodana, but I wasn't quite certain, Kamloi Bok of a Kalev Kama, how much does that take up? However, Kiven the Shmatzel Hadatanan. Once I heard the Mishnah that says Layita Ilan Samal Stechaveri, we quoted this Mishnah in our previous year as well, that one is not allowed to plant next to somebody else's field. Elm Kane Hirchik Mena Arba Amos, unless he distance from the other field 4 Amos. But Tani Allah, and the Brisa in explaining that Mishnah says Arba Amos Sha'amru, the Arba Amos that we're discussing is Kedei Avodas HaKaren, is the amount that he needs to be able to maneuver his equipment. Amina, so I understood that Shmamina, from here we understand that what is the shear of Meloy Bakar the Kalev? The shear is Dalar Amos. That's the amount that you have to give him, that 4 Amos. And the same halacha explained the Rishonim is that if you buy 3 trees, that's the amount you have to give him, the 4 amma of land is he's entitled to. Ask the Gemara, Ukrab Yosef, the Milay Tanan, didn't we learn a Mishnah, like Rabbi Yosef, that Mishnayis that follow the opinion of Yosef? But Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Kenelaim teaches us, Ramei Rav Shimon Omer, Hanoteis Karmoy, Shmaina Amos, or Shmaina Amos, if there's distance between the rows, 8 amas, muta lahavizer l'sham. Because when you have that distance, it's considered separate. Anything less is considered all part of the field. So what happens over here is that we have different proof to different situation. So how do we deal with this? What is the halacha? Says the Gemara, a rule for shas, a filahacha, Maisa Adif. As we began the shir, we spoke about a distance of 16 amma, and we proved that the halacha is 16 amma based on the story that happened in Salmon. So says the Gemara that whenever we have a question, not quite certain what to do, we should always follow where the halacha was followed, halacha lemaisa, where this psak was actually carried out. And since over here that we have a story that happened in Salmon, and where the halacha said that unless they're separated by 16 amos, it's considered one field, so that's why we have to paskin here that they 3 trees, if the distance 16 amos, is it not considered one unit? Anything less is considered one unit. And the Maral writes that when a Pesach is answering a halachic question, that and we have that tshuva written, that an answer that was given to a practical halachic shaila is more reliable than something that was just written for academic reasons. And the Noda Behuda says, why? The Noda Behuda says, when somebody is asked a shaila, and he has to give an answer to a shayla that's halacha lemaisa, he's given a special siyata d'shmaya, that this question that somebody's posing to him, the answer he gives him should be the correct answer. The Be'er Ma'im Chaim says that part of the tefillah that every rav has to daven, that he should be given siyata d'shmaya to give the correct also answer. But he also says that it goes a drop deeper. The person should have the siyata d'shmaya that based on his answer, nothing incorrect should happen. And he gives an illustration. He says, there was once a rav who was asked to look at a piece of a chicken to determine if the chicken was a treifa. The rav did not see any reason to declare the chicken non-kosher. But for whatever reason, he asked the person who was asking him the question if he could see the rest of the chicken. Upon examining the remaining portion of the chicken, there he saw that it was indeed a treifa. Says the Be'er Ma'im Chaim, this person had the schus to have siyata d'shmaya, to ask to see the rest of the chicken. And by seeing the rest of the chicken, he was able to determine that the chicken was non-kosher. That's called real siyata d'shmaya. Says the Gemara that Bishlam Rabbi Yosef leaves Rav Shimon, according to Rabbi Yosef who holds like Rav Shimon, Shemina Lema Fazarim, Rav Shimon teaches us what is the distance between the trees, the Shemina Lema Ritzufim, how far should they be, what is the amount that we give them to separate, and we also learn at what point are they considered too close together that it's not considered a field. Mufazarim, and the Gemara explains what it means. Mihad Amarim, from the Mishnah that we just quoted in Masechta Klayim, that says Ramei and Reb Shimon hold that if there's a field that has less than 8 amos between it, it's not considered a field. And you can bring another, they have 8 amos, it's not considered a field, and you could bring seeds there. Ritzufim, that Reb Shimon says that when is it considered too tight, Meritanan, that Mishnah, Masechta Klayim, Perkei Mishnah Bay says, Karaman and Tumal Pokas me Abba Amis. If you have a vineyard that there isn't 4 Amis between the trees, ain't a Karam. So we learn that the distance is 8 Amis. When it's 8 Amis separated, it's not considered one field. And when it's 4 Amis, it's considered too tight. Divrei Reb Shimon. The Chamaimrim says that the fact that there's 4 Amis, that there's now 4 Amis between the trees, doesn't bother us. It's still a Karen, but what the Rabbanan tell us to do is Roin Esem Tsoim Kela Enum. We have to view as those trees that are in that tight space are halachically not there. They're going to have to be viewed as if they were up, they have to be uprooted. But, explains the Rashbam, that this is a halacha regarding climb, that we look at them as if they are already uprooted. But as far as the halacha in our sugya, when you're buying trees from somebody else, there the Chacham will agree that I didn't buy property if there's this distance. Eller Rav Nachman Rabbi Rabbanan, but Rav Nachman being according to Rabbanan, that holds that the halacha is like the Chachamim, Mufazarim Shemina Lei, regarding the halacha Mufazarim, it says in the ratio of the Mishnah Masechta Klayim, that when there's a distance of 16 amos, the trees aren't considered one keren. Ritzufa mishiminalei. But where do we learn the halacha that if it has to be less than eight amos, it's considered two packed together? Says the Gemara. We don't have an explicit source for such halacha, but he says svaruhu. It's based on logic. Midrav Shimon Palga, Rabbanan Palga. When we talk about the opinion of Rav Shimon, so the shear is 8 amos and 4 amos. So here, if we see that the shear of separation is 16 amos, we have it, and we say that when it's 8 amos, it's already too tight together. Says the Gemara Amar Rava, but Rava says, Hilchas d'alocha is me'arba v'cheish esrei. If you have a distance between 4 amos and 16 amos, then according to 4 amos, that's already too tight, and 16 amos, it's considered separate. And this svara that we just learned, that there's a new number of 8 amos, he doesn't accept, says the Gemara. And there's a brisa that supports what Rava just said. Tanya Kavosei the Rava, there's a brisa that supports what Rava says. Kame Yemek Ravim, how much close should the trees be, and they should be considered one field? 4 amos. The Kamiyur Mechokim, when is it has to be at least a distance of 4 amos between the trees, otherwise it's considered too packed together. The Kamiyur Mechokim, at what point are they considered too distant that we don't connect them? 16 amos. Up to 16 amos. Hareza Kona Karka, if somebody bought such a property, he bought the land, the Ceylonis Akhtanim Shebineim, and the small trees between all these trees. Lefikach, and since we're learning now that under these circumstances, it's considered that you own the property. Therefore, says the Gemara, the halacha will be that Yavash Eilan, if the tree dries out, or nixes, or got cut down, and it didn't die, Yesh Lekarka, he has a right to plant. He has a right to replant the tree there. Pachs Mekan or Yas Mekan, if there's an area of less than Dalar Amis, So those trees are not considered something that's going to remain there, as we said earlier. Or yes, okay, if there's a distance of more than 16 amos between the trees. Or shaloksim bezachazeh, even if you bought three trees, but you didn't buy all three trees at the same time, harez lekana, the loy es karka, he doesn't become the owner of the property. The loy es alanish b'nayim, we just spoke about the small trees that are in them, in between. If you only bought the trees in such a fashion, you don't become the owner of the property, nor of those small trees that are in between. Lefikach, and since that's the situation, says the Gemara, the Halacha Ovi, the Braisa says it, that if Yovash Ilan, the nixus of the tree, dies or is cut down, and like karka, then he's not entitled to karka. What will be the Halacha debate, the Rishonim, where it's a case like we just discussed, where you don't own the property, and the tree got cut down, but there's a trunk, some left there. Do you have a right to say that since the sum of the trunk left there and that trunk could grow again, then I should be entitled to that new tree? So some Rishonim are of the opinion that in such a situation, the halach is that you don't have a right. It's considered as if the tree was cut down and you don't have no right to the new tree. The Rosh says that if the amount of the tree that's left will regenerate and grow a new tree, the halacha does not view that as if the entire original tree is not there and you're entitled to that trunk that's left over and to the new tree that will go up. We learned that in the case with the proper conditions, then you not only go to own the trees that you bought, and not only own the land in between the trees, but even going to own the small trees in between. What does that mean? So Rabbeinu Yonah says that if they're small trees that were just planted, you're entitled to them. But if they're real trees, then you're not necessarily entitled to them. The Rabbeinu Yonah also gives a suggestion that the trees that are being referred to are trees that are lanish sarak, that don't give off any fruit. So since they're considered insignificant trees because they're not able to give fruit, that's when you'll be entitled. Those are the trees that are being referred to, that under those circumstances, you'll be entitled to the trees in between, on the land that's in between the trees that you bought. Astag ma'bar b'yimik shumoided. So now we're learning, as Rava teaches us, that there are two numbers that we need to take into consideration. 4 amos and 16 amos. So now ask the Gemara, Bar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shemoided, when we measure this 4 amos, 16 amos, Mokim Kotzer Moided, do we measure it from where the tree is thin, that means on the top, where it gets thinner, or Mokim Rochav Moided, or we measure from the bottom, where it's thicker. Amalei Rav Gavim and Beikosel, Rav Ashi, Toshma, we could answer this. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechet Klaim says, Harukuva she begefen. We have a young grape tree, the vine, that was grafted onto an older grape vine. We want to measure 4 amos to see if it's considered a kerem or not. And in Moided, you measure me'ikar sheni, from the second knot on the tree. You don't go all the way on the bottom, where it's very wide. You don't go on the top where it's too narrow. You look at the second knot, which is in the middle. By Rab Yirmiya, now Rab Yirmiya asks, Ma'echalai shloisha badi ilan. If somebody sold to somebody 3 branches of a tree, and the question is that after a while, those 3 branches, as they're put into the ground, look like 3 separate trees. Is it considered like 3 separate trees? Because you put them into the ground, and now it's considered like you own 3 separate trees, and therefore you own the land, or not. Mahu. Amalei, Rav Gavim, Bei Kossel, Rav Ashi, Toshima, the Tanan, another Mishnah Masechta Klaim, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Beis, Hamarvach Shloisha Gefanim, if somebody takes 3 branches of a grape tree and puts them into the ground, and then he covers it up with earth in order that they should take root, and now they look like separate trees. Ikreim near, if their roots are visible, that they took root. Reb Elezer, Reb Shimon, Omer, im yesh b'nei me'arba amasot shmoinim, mitzdarfim lav, ayim mitzdarfim. So even though it looks like three separate trees, but once they take root, it looks like more trees. The halacha is that they're considered separate trees, and so will be the halacha, he says, regarding branches of the tree that we just spoke about. By Rapapa, Rapapa asks a different question. Somebody sold two trees, the Echer al Meitzer, and there's another tree on the border, Mahu. Is it do we combine these three trees, or do we not combine the three trees? And the Rishonim debate how to understand this Gemara's question. The Rashbam says that somebody owns a property and he has two trees on that property right next to the border of a property. And now he bought another tree on the neighboring property. So now the question is it considered that he owns three trees by buying this third tree? Or since the tree that he bought is only one, he only bought from his neighbor one tree, so even though he indeed owns three trees, but he only bought one tree, and everything we've been discussing is in a situation where he bought three trees. Here he didn't buy three trees. The Rabbeinu Yonason says that the situation is that somebody sold to somebody three trees, but he didn't sell him all three trees from one property. And he sold him two trees on his own property, and the third tree that he sold him was from the neighboring property. So do we say that he owns the property or not? The Gemara asks another question. If we'll say in the case that we just mentioned that it's considered like he bought three trees, what would be the halacha shnayim b'toch shaloi? He bought two trees in his own property, v'ech b'toch shal chaveroi. Somebody sold two trees and one in the next property. Mai, what's the halacha? Do they combine or not? Now the Gemara asks a number of other questions. By Rav Ashi, bar, if somebody sold three trees, but there's a pit dividing them in the area in between the trees, does that separate them? And therefore, since it separates them, it's not considered one property. Amas Hamayim, if there's a canal of water, ask the Gemara Masha Tafsik, will it serve as a separation? Rishus HaRabim, if there's a Rishus HaRabim that passes through the area, is it going to separate? And again, the Rashbam, in order to make sure that the Gemara remains consistent with everything that we've been learning in our Shia today, explains that this Rishus HaRabim has to be less than 16 amma wide. It has to be wider than 4 amas, but less than 16 amas. Otherwise, we'll have a problem based on what we've been learning in our shir, that if you have less than 4 amas or more than 16 amas, they can't combine anyway. Richva didikli, if you have a row of trees, mahu, will they divide this area into two? And the Gemara remains with a take. And the Rashbam here says that there's a row of palm trees separating this tree, and the question the Gemara is asking is that considered something significant enough to separate the trees, and it won't be considered that I sold all the tree together. And Rabbeinu Yoina, in order to make this Gemara clearer, says that he clearly wrote in the contract, the seller clearly wrote into the contract that the richva de dikla that's being sold is not included in the sale. There is no question that the buyer will not receive the richva de dikla. The question is, will the fact that there is a richva de dikla serve as a divider between the trees that were sold? Or even though the buyer isn't receiving the richva de dikla, it doesn't make a difference that even though he's not getting the richva de dikla, it doesn't mean that he should. What does it do regarding the three trees that he bought? By Minei Hill Merebi. Hill asked Rebbe, Ola Erez Beineim. After he bought the trees, an Erez tree grew between the trees. Mahu, is the erez going to be a separator or not? Asked the Gemara, Allah? Pshuto d'day nafik. I don't understand. What is your question? How could you have such a question? If we're saying that if you buy three trees, and we have the proper distance, as we've learned extensively in our shir, between the trees, so then the land in between the trees is his. And any tree that will grow on that area will be his. Hello, says the Gemara. So that could not have possibly been Hillel's question. Says the Gemara, the question is, Haya Erez B'Neim, he bought three trees, and there's an Erez in between on this land between the trees. Is it a sep? Does it separate it or not? Amalei, and Rebbe answered, Hillel Kana V'Kana. The Erez is certainly not considered something that separates the trees. Ask the Gemara. Ketzer Amaimna, we keep on speaking about these three trees, and we keep on saying that when you buy three trees, you own the land in between them. So ask the Gemara, how do these three trees stand? Rav Amar Keshura, they stand in a straight line. V'Shulul Amar Kechatsuva, that means it stands like something that has three legs, or like we would call it the segoil. Two and one sticking out. Manda Amar Keshura, so says the Gemara, the Manda Amar that says that even if they're just standing in a row, they considered three trees, what all the halachas that three trees bring with it. Kol shekein chatzuva, so will be the halacha with a chatzuva. Or man damer kechatzuva, that they have to be like chatzuva, says the Gemara av kashur loy. If they're standing in one straight line, the buyer of even three trees does not become of the owner of the land in between the trees. My tama, mishum de mizdar benayim. Because if they're if they're situated that way, the halacha will allow you to plant in between. The seller could plant in between. And if the seller could plant something in between, it's a clear indication that the land in between is not included. Ask the Gemara, Mask of Law, Rav Hamnuna, if that's the issue that we have to look for, can you or can you not plant there? So ask the Gemara, Maskula, Rav Nuna, Laman Damak Chatsuva, when they look like the Chatsuva, my time the law is Dar Benayu, why may you not plant in between? Elame Ata, says the Gemara, Shizovin Le Tlos Chigi Rumaisid Le Mizdar Benayim. Or what's going to be the halacha if somebody sold somebody thorns that you don't plant over there? Hachanami de Yesh Le Karka, is the whole thing that we look at if you can or can't plant? Says the Gemara, Amalei Hanach Leichashiva. The thorns are not considered significant. Hanach Chashiva. And therefore, if you're selling thorn bushes, you didn't sell the buyer something significant. And since you didn't sell the buyer something significant, you did not mean to give the buyer the land in between. When you sell trees, trees are significant. And if you can't, and it's also A, the trees are significant. B, if you can't plant anything in the land between the trees, that's clearly an indication that you sold the land. So the Mishnah continues in speaking about when you sell something, what is or isn't included. Says the Mishnah, Maicha Rosh Behemagasa. If somebody sells the head of a large animal, Loi Machas Reglaim, the legs don't go along. Machas Reglaim, if you sold the legs, Loi Machas Rosh, the head is not included. Machas Akan, if you sold the lungs, like macher as a covet, doesn't mean you sold the liver. Macher as a covet, if you sold the liver, like macher as a kana, the lungs don't go along. And our Mishnah explains in the Muki Yosef is teaching us that there's a difference in halacha between a behema gasa and a behema daka. By behema gasa, people sell. Because it's such a large animal, people sell each one of the organs separately. But behema daka, since these organs are not that significant, the halacha is if you sold one organ, you have to sell more organs to make it into a significant sale. The kana, the Rashbam explained, as we learned, means the lungs. And because they have tubes, that's the lungs have tubes, that's why they're called kana. The Haisa says that the kana actually is not just the lungs. The kana is the lungs and the heart. And one of the rayas why Tosfos learns that way, explains the Tosfos Yontif, is because if the kana, like the Rashbam suggests, just meant the lungs, so the word for lungs in Lashon Kodesh is reya. So the Mishnah should have said reya. Why did the Mishnah call it a kana? Because if it would have said reya, we would have thought that it only means the lungs. In order that we should know that it also means the heart, so we use this word kana. Ava badaka, as we just explained, the halacha by behemah daka is different. Machas roish, if you sell the head of the animal, machas reglayim, the halacha is that the legs come along. Machas reglayim, but if you sold the leg, because the head is considered significant, and when you sell the head, the legs go along, because the legs are considered tuffel, secondary to the head. However, machas reglayim, if you sell the reglayim, loy machas roish, the roish is considered more significant than the reglayim. And since the roish is considered more significant than the reglayim, the halacha is that the roish doesn't necessarily travel with the reglayim. Machas akana, if you sold the kana, machar covered, where behemah daka, the liver comes along, but machas akavid, if you sold the liver, like machas akana, the lung, we're using the Rashban pshat, is more significant than the liver, and therefore the liver does not automatically take it along. There's a very important point that the Rashbam makes here. He says that everything we're discussing in our Mishnah is only in a place where there is no, as we've been saying in our Shurim, in a place where there is no clear minig. So in a place where there is no clear minig, so that's where the halacha says that we have to follow what the Mishnah says. But when there's a clear minig, then we follow what is the minig hamokim, what butchers do. But there's an interesting question that the Chashuk Echema discusses. In a slaughterhouse, there was one animal, a keves, a sheep. One of the animals was a trefa, and the leg of that animal that's a trefa got mixed up with all the kosher legs. And there's no way of being able to identify which is the non-kosher leg. All the legs look the same. There's a very fundamental halacha in Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara mentions it many times, that a chaticha arui l'skabit, something that is significant, never becomes bottled, never becomes nullified. And the question is, here we're speaking about a behemah daka, and our Mishnah says that the leg of a behemah daka we just learned is not significant. But the Ramah says that this, as the Rashbam said, when we speak about an animal being what's significant and what's not significant, it's very much connected to the minig of Medina. What is the minig in the place where this took place? And therefore, says the Ramah, we have to look in every place. Moreover, we're, in our Mishnah, the focus is on Mekach u'Memkar. The focus is what is considered significant when we're selling and how are sales, what is included in the sale, what is not included in the sale. That doesn't necessarily have to connect to the halacha of chaticha arui l'skabit. And it's very interesting. One of the things that the pais can bring down is tongue. In certain times and places, the tongue was not considered significant. But yet we find, by Avram Avinu, the tongue was considered very significant. And Bizman Azeh, tongue is considered a delicacy, so it's certainly considered significant. So we can't just say what our Mishnah determines as a chaticha arui l'skabit or not should be the halacha regarding when they got mixed up in the question of kashrus. Says the Mishnah, Abba Midas v'machrim. We find four different rules, says the Mishnah, regarding somebody who sold something. Machalai chitim yafis. If the seller said, I'm selling you high quality wheat, the nimtzaros, and they turn out to be low quality wheat, halakeach yachalachzabai, then the buyer could back out. But, and we'll speak about this in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, that the seller cannot sell back out. In other words, explain the Rishonim that this is not considered a mekach tos. If it was a mekach tos, then you could back out. But it's not considered a mekach tos. It's considered oino. Ross with MCOffice, or vice versa, that if the seller said, I'm selling you high quality, and he ends up being low quality, so they are lokech yachalak, but the buyer could back out. Ross, the seller could back out, because he is the one that ended up losing out. He thought he's selling poor quality, and he sold high quality. What happens, Ross, for them, Ross, if the poor quality, and that's what they end up being, or I said I'm selling poor, and it is poor, Yafis for them to Yafis, or I said I'm selling good quality, and it ends up being good quality, and of course the Gemara is going to explain why does the Mishnah have to say this. If what we agreed to sell is what we got, so what's the Shiloh? So Rashbam explains that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where the price changed dramatically after the sale. And the halacha is, it doesn't make a difference. If that was the sale is valid. Taisus Ritva says there really is no chiddush in this case. The Mishnah is just trying to give us all the examples that are possible to happen when you have a seller and a buyer. The Ritva explains that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that when we speak about Ross, or we speak about Yafis, there are different categories of bad grain, or there are different categories of good grain. So the buyer or the seller could say, yes, I said good grain, but I didn't mean so good, or I didn't mean so the lower quality of good. Or by bad, he could say, I didn't think you meant such bad grain. As long as they're in the general grade of Ross, and that's what was agreed upon, or if it's in the general category of Yafis, and that was what was agreed upon, the deal stands. Says the Mishnah further, if the seller said, I'm giving you shchamtis, and we'll speak about this in the Gemara as well, which is red grain, the nimtz levana, and it's white, or vice versa, levana, nimtz shchamtis. Somebody said, I'm selling you eitzim shalzayis, olive wood, the nimtz shalshikma, sycamore wood, or vice versa, shalshikma, the nimtz shalzayis, yayin, if I said I'm selling you wine, and it turns out to be vinegar, or I said I'm selling you vinegar, and it turns out to be wine. In all these cases, and as we're going to see in the Gemara, and the Rashbam says that the chiddush here is that these are all considered two different minim. And it's not, if I said one thing and I give you something else, it's not what we agreed upon. And the Mukhi Yosef explains, for example, by the way, the chintas, the red wheat, makes a lot of flour, but the quality of the bread that's baked from the flour is poor quality. And the white is just the opposite. It doesn't make a lot of flour, but the bread that's braised from it is considered a good quality bread. And Ritva goes on to say that the way to make the judgment in all these cases, the way to look at it is, how do people look at these things and how do people want? And if people say that this is not what I bargained for, if this is not what I bargained for, then it's not what I wanted, then the sale is considered a sale.